لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء؟ بناها، رفع سمكها فسواها، وأغطش لينها وأخرج ضحاها، والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها، أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها، والجبال أرساها، متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In continuing with what we have spoken about last week, wherein we spoke from the beginning of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how individual and how people will have their life taken. And depending on a person's faith, depending on a person, how good they have attempted to be in the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to that extent, Allah will make it easy for that given individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also brought a few things to the forefront regarding what we spoke about last week. And amongst them was the notion that there will be humility that will be presented from every creature. And the idea of that humility is directly linked on that day to the awe, the magnificence, and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should not wait for that day to be in awe of Allah. Rather, the way in which we live our life, the choices that we make, has to represent the greatness of Allah in our everyday life. You know, there are some people, you look at some cultures, they meet people differently. Some will raise their hand a certain way, some will greet a certain way, some will hug a certain way, to show that they like the other person. But whether they really like or not, that's a separate issue. But they do it. Why they do it? Because of respect. On that given day, the respect that is presented is because of the greatness of Allah. But the ulama have said that rather for waiting for that given day to view Allah as great, the way we live our current life should also indicate the greatness of Allah. By virtue of example, without continuing talking about that, my father's teacher, Maulana Masihullah, for example, a very good man, respectable man, very knowledgeable. People have said that they never saw him in their entire life sleeping in a way where his legs would be spread out. You know, when you go to bed, I mean, you know how it is in an airplane when you sleep with your legs. I know Brother Ghulam travels a lot, maybe his first class, so I don't know. But I'm sure there must be a time period when he sat second or third class. Is that third class also? Yes. And, oh, there is, okay. If he says yes, that means he has experience. Now, you know how it is when you sit in that third class, for example, for maybe 15 hours. It's not fun. Your legs, it affects you. And even when you go to the back of the plane, I remember sometimes you look to see if nobody is there and you go and you try to sleep there. Your legs can never be fully extended. And that places a challenge on a person. It messes up your sleep. It messes up your legs. And they say regarding this given sheikh, never anyone saw him ever with his legs ever opened out. And they would ask him why. He says, because my Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me at all times. And I cannot be sprawled out because I'm not the king. Allah is the king. And that demands for the way I must sit, for the way I must talk, for the way I must present my given self. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, through this given surah, He's continuously bringing one thing to the forefront. O humans, reflect. Because the day will come when you'll be brought forth, and when you are brought forth, you're going to be all humble. Well, it's not for you to be humble then. It's for you to be humble now, which will be a genuine form of humbleness on that given day as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about all these things, and He talks about, of course, in this given surah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. He talks about all these things that we talked about, death, how your soul is going to be taken out, how you're going to maybe behave to a humble person, and all of a sudden He says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Have you not heard of the story of Musa alayhi salam? Why does Allah do this? For example, if you mentioning a story to someone, you go A, B, C, D, you go in a certain order. If you skip the order, you know when you're young and you mention a joke, and you've all went through this when a guy mixes up the joke. He's going, and by mistake he says the last line somewhere in between. And then he realizes what happened. The joke is over. And you wonder, what is going on? And the momentum is lost. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not making jokes. The Quran is not a storybook. I begin with A and I end up with Z in a certain way. No. All of a sudden Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Have you not heard the story of Musa alayhi salam? What was the story of Musa alayhi salam? The issue of Musa alayhi salam was unnecessary questions they were presented to the Prophet. Unnecessary dialogue. Unnecessary challenges. Unnecessary debating. Nothing was ever enough. Anything he says, why can't it be like that? To the point where they said, okay, we will go to worship, but they would take the fishnets and leave it out there. Imagine, time to go to worship, leave everything. No. They won't leave everything. They go to worship and they leave the fishnets over there. Just like many Muslims in today's time, they wait for the last minute to go for the Jummah Salah. The Quran says, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. And what questions do we ask? Well, which adhan must I be there for? The first adhan or the second adhan? And the brother reminded me earlier today what he said when he came in. He said something very nice. He says, I would like to catch the camel. Well, I think he didn't quite catch the camel. He came a little bit late. But if he came early and then he went out and then he came back and then yes, he got the camel. The point here is, the Quran is saying, at least be there. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. Try to hasten and be there as soon as possible. And the hadith makes it easy by saying, yes, you may get a little bit late, but to make me and to gain an incentive, try to be there for the first part. Because the reward is there for the first part. And the reward goes all the way down from all. Look at the size of a camel. I mean, how big is a camel? It's 7 shares of an animal. And your reward goes all the way down to that of an egg. You know, they say, if you're going to do something, do it right. You are going to come. Why not come early? Why not make the time to come? Read your nafil, read your sunnah, read your surah Kahf. If you didn't read your yasin, read your yasin. So Allah is saying, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Did you not understand? Did the story of Musa alayhi salam not come to you? اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرَعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Go to Fir'aun, talk to Fir'aun, because إِنَّهُ طَغَى. He is a person with a swollen head. He's a very arrogant individual. Another place says, قُولُ لَيِّنَا. Even though he is arrogant, talk to him in a nice way so you can pass the message over to him. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. Is it not your idea that you will become purified? Is it not your idea that you'll become a humble individual? Now with today's part, Allah says, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ. Insan, humans, what is difficult to create? Is it more challenging to create you? Or is it more challenging to create the skies? More challenging to create Jannah. When Allah asks a question, Allah doesn't want you to respond. There is no need to respond. And this is something we have to teach our young ones. You know, when you ask them something, they always have an answer. And today's children, it doesn't matter whether the answer is right or wrong. And the worst part is, you know what adults will say? MashaAllah, see how clever he is, he gave an answer. The answer is wrong. Everybody knows the answer is wrong. And what do we say? Wow, remarkable. At least he gave an answer. And if you tell to someone, your answer was wrong, the parent may even say, don't say that, the answer is wrong. Don't ever say that, because you'll hurt the ego and the self-esteem of the child. Then you wonder why the kid is 21 and cannot get a job or maintain a job. Why the kid is jumping from one major to the next. I'm not saying you cannot change majors, but how many times are you going to change majors? How many times are you going to not get a good grade? How many times are you just going to be running behind individuals and things rather than focusing on what you should focus on? That's what Allah is saying. When Allah asks a question, Allah is teaching us that every question doesn't warrant an answer, number one. And some questions are there for your reflection. A'antum, are you not? Ashaddu khalqan amis sama? Who is it? What is more difficult to create? You or the skies? You or the heavens? The message Allah is passing is, O insan, compared to what I have created, you are insignificant. Yet, even though the things that I have created are stronger than you, more powerful than you, if your actions are great, I will give you the benefit of more than all that I've created. Imagine. Look at the value of heaven. The pearls, the gold, the silver, the lakes, the beauty, the majesty, the magnificence, the angles in which you can sit in and look at things that are just mind-boggling. Yet, everything is created for one insan, for that individual that dedicates him or herself to doing what Allah wants them to do. رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا. Regarding, you know, I mean, you look at the Quran. رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا. That these things, clouds, skies, I mean, you know, when you, anyone who does construction or did construction, what a big deal it is. We're raising the roof. You ever saw them raising a roof? Sometimes, depending on what they're doing, you got to get cranes, you got to get this, you got to get that. It's a big deal, the roof is up. If a man is building a house, my roof is up. It's a proud thing for him or her. Allah is saying, forget your roof. I put the clouds up. Beyond the clouds, I have things that are there. And beyond that, there are things above that, all the way up to the heavens and beyond. I lifted it, I brought it up, I hold it up. Allah says, I took it up, I made it look so beautiful that when you look at it, it'll do one of two things. It'll either reduce your iman, because you look at it, you will take the beauty from it and you'll do haram. Imagine, people look at the beautiful moonlight. They look at the clouds and what they say, let's go out and have fun. Isn't it nice? And Allah is saying, that's not why I created it. I created it for you to enjoy it in a halal way. And I've created it so it can improve your iman, so you may realize the majesty and the magnificence of Allah. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا. And I darkened the night. And I darkened the night. And وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا. أَخْرَجَ يُخْرِجُ has to do with taking out. What is Allah saying? Allah could have used so many other words. I brought the night, I brought the day. He didn't say it that way. I brought the night and then I snatched away the night and I brought the morning. And the way in which I did it, Allah is saying, is something you can go and talk about it in science. You can talk about it with your friends on the National Geographic Channel. Do as you wish, Allah says. At the end of the day, Allah is saying, I am doing it for one purpose. So you understand the value of night, understand the value of day, and use them for what Allah wishes and intended for you to use it for. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا. And as far as the earth is concerned, it's not just, I mean, when you're coming here, you look at places where people live, wherever in the world it is, there's a certain system in place. You don't just go live on the top of a mountain. There are people that live on the top of mountains, but generally, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا. Overall, the earth, I have flattened it. So you may be able to walk on it. You may be able to enjoy upon it. You may be able to pray upon it. You may be able to take your animals upon it. And so they may be able to walk. They may be able to consume. And you know, when you study animals, there are certain things they are doing on the ground. They don't just walk. Allah made their hoofs. If you study the surah, it makes you reflect. Allah made their hoofs such that when they walk on the ground, they don't walk like me and you. We walk flat, basically. They walk and they poke into it. Look at the hoofs. And when you are walking like a 700-pound animal, a horse, a cow, or for that matter, even a goat, when it walks and it hops and it jumps, then it's doing something to the ground, and amongst the things that it is doing to the ground, it is tilting the land for the farmer. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا. I flattened it, I continue to keep it flat, and I continue to keep it flat with my system. What is the system of Allah to keep it flat? Animals, one of them. Rainwater comes down, number two. Number three, there are certain worms that only stay in the ground. If they come out of the ground, some say 10 or 15 minutes, and the UV light of the sun hits it, it dies. Its job is in the ground. That's where it functions. And it does work in the ground. Go and rip, take a fork, those big forks, and rip a little bit. You take it out and you look at the soil. When you look at the soil, you actually see holes sometimes in it. What is Allah saying to you and I? Allah is saying, it is me that has done this insan, so you may enjoy, not enjoy to the point where you forget me, enjoy to the point where you remember me. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ دَحَاهَا أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. Talking about the water. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. Talking about the mountains and its position and its weight and the role that it plays. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. What is Allah saying? مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. I mean, all these things, this mata', these various water, it's a mata', rain, mata', animals, mata', mountains, mata'. What's mata'? I'll end off with this point. Mata' is goods, goods, things. That's what things are. Everything is a thing. If I'm not mistaken, his name was Imam Sibawi. He was a Nahwiyin. Nahwiyin is those people that are masters in Arabic grammar. How do you define mata? Now people are coming up with definitions that mata is this good. Mata is a good that is beneficial, but anything that's not beneficial is not a good. But yet you know, for example, we're talking of worms. You know worms, they assist in biodegradation. So for example, if you have a lot of unwanted manure in a certain place and these worms go through it, they eat up the manure and it helps the soil. So are you going to say that's not a good thing? And if it's not a good thing, then it's not beneficial. But yet everyone knows from the environmental point of view that worm is doing a good thing with that manure. So there'll be a debate that is only good things and bad things not good things, because me and you define bad things as not so good things. You see the confusion. Imam Sibawi said, I'll make it very easy for you. Mata is a thing. It is such a thing, I mean, you know, if you really reflect upon this, he says, it's like a clot in the mouth of a dog. You put a rag in the mouth of a dog, and the dog starts running around and playing with that rag. Would you say that the rag is now valuable? I'm going to put that rag on my table, and I'm going to put my plate on it. No, you'll never do that. He says, that's exactly what the world is all about. It's like a rag in the mouth of an animal. That's what the world is. Today it's lush and beautiful. Tomorrow it's old and gone. Today the building is fine and wonderful. Tomorrow if it's not constructed, it is gone. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ Allah is saying the same thing. All these things I've made for your usage, so you may use it and not abuse it, and use it in a way that will improve your iman and not degrade it further. So inshallah, next week we'll continue with the last part of the surah. And I think it is important that we talk about these surah for one purpose, my brothers. In less than a month, in approximately a month, Ramadan will be here. And by talking about the Quran, we are making ourselves sensitive to two things. Our human relations, or relationship that we have on earth, and to connect that relationship with our Allah, so we don't get distracted by this earth. As the hadith says very beautifully, either a ship goes in water, and the water does not come into it, so it remains afloat, and it gets to its destination, or you are going to be, basically, simply put, like the Titanic, living your life haphazardly, doing what you got to do, and everyone looks at you and says, this fellow is waiting for a crash. You never know what's going to happen with this fellow. And that's exactly what they said regarding the Titanic. This captain, if you study the history, he's reckless. He's fooling around. He's getting away with it. He gets away one time, he gets away again. You know, I said this before, he used to play basically games with little boats. So he has a big ship, he's going, and you know the wave it leaves behind, and there are little boats there, and he will go with his force, sometimes recklessly, instead of keeping an appropriate distance, he would challenge them, he would go close by, and he would swallow them up. Because that wave will be so strong, he's got a massive ship, that's a small boat. He had major attorneys, they'd go and they'd win the case. One case, two case, three case. Yes, he got away, he got away, he got away. How much are you going to get away? How long are you going to get away? How many people are you going to get away with? That's what Allah is saying here, the same thing. That, oh insan, don't become reckless. إِذَا ضَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ Don't fall in ghafla. Because when you fall in ghafla, it's going to be dangerous to deal with you. And that's the part that we all are becoming part of as a society and community. It's a trend. Don't tell me what to do. Let me live my life. I know what I'm doing. And that attitude, if it does not change, whether it's young ones or adults, my brothers and sisters, it'll hurt our community greatly, our society greatly. So inshallah, let's reflect upon these few things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about. Let us reflect upon His creation to improve our iman, number one. Let us reflect upon what Allah demands of us, and by doing that, inshallah, it'll not only increase our iman, but it'll help us become better prepared for this great month of Ramadan. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.